This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Wednesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia live on X Spaces sometimes. Maybe, probably not today, though. So, man, the oranges. The oranges is... nine-game win streak is comes to a close at Clemson. Did I say nine?
Yeah, that would have been nice.
That would have been great.
We'd be in the tournament.
Four. 90-75. I think that's what I was trying to say. Maybe. Maybe not. But, you know, I don't think it's much of a surprise. I mean, I at least for me, I kind of... I had high hopes, but, I mean, obviously Syracuse never had real control of the game. So... you know, they didn't go out there and get absolutely pummeled despite the final score. That happened a lot towards the end of the game. And Joe Girard, once again, getting put on the line. And the dude's shooting 95% from the free throw line this year, which is absurd. So there's that. Once again, he gets the ball when we decide to foul. And we had a couple opportunities before that when that started. But anyways, he hit some important shots down the stretch. PJ Hall was on running on, who knows? I don't know. Pure adrenaline? I don't know. He absolutely destroyed it last night. Syracuse killed in the paint, too, not to mention. I will say this, though, that, you know, the worst we could finish is seventh. The best we can finish is fifth. Everybody else pretty much still has another game. We're not sitting in a terrible spot having that extra couple days to recoup, practice, and focus on, you know, what we need to do for the ACC tournament. So, you know, I don't have extremely high expectations as far as I don't have any expectations as far as making the tournament. In fact, I would other than maybe a championship game. Win or lose in the ACC tournament, I just would assume that we're not going to make it. And that's okay. I think, you know, I didn't come to terms with it yesterday. I kind of already come to terms with it. But I think it's fair to say that yesterday really kind of pushed me over. And it's just one of those things where if Syracuse was in, if this was 2025, if this was a year from now, and Syracuse had all the same players, and another year under their belt. It's just the Clemson team was too experienced for us last night. And I realized that when I saw, you know, them standing up there on senior day and all that. And it just, we're outmatched in that regard. And, you know, we saw it against UNC at UNC. And we're just totally outmatched against the seniority of the guys in the league. And it's okay. Because I think where we are, what we accomplished this year so far in the regular season, was exceeded my expectations to some extent and pleasantly surprised, especially with the way the season started. And for a first-year coach, switching defenses and all of these things, I feel really good about where this team is at. Not just heading into the ACC tournament, and we'll see what happens there, but next year. And it's all about, you know, you have to have some player retention, but you've got a couple guys coming in, and I got to imagine some of these guys are going to stay. I mean, I thought, you know, Kyle Cuff, I mean, where did that come from? You know, he hits 3 of 4 from three-point range last night, and I was just like, that's amazing. And again, to Copeland, off the bench with 26 points off the bench total last night, which was extremely good. And both of those guys have been coming on better and better as the season's gotten, as the seasons went on. And I don't know. I mean, if you want to be negative about this year, we can all do that. That's too easy. I think we got to look at some of the silver linings and hope for the best as far as next year goes. And in like, you know, what is it? Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance. There's still a chance right now.
Yeah, there's always a chance.
There's still a chance. So we're not going to fold it up. This Syracuse basketball team is going to fold it up. Dude, they knew they were going to lose that game last night, and they still fought through everything. And yeah. Until, you know, it was feasibly time to just say, okay, you know, game's over, and let them dribble it out and be done with it, right? So,
yeah, dude. I mean, look, so 4 starters for Clemson on senior night or seniors. Again, we talked about it, the matchup.
One of them's ours.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, again, just the matchup, right? Like, we talked about it before. You know, we didn't have pretty much a legit big man for majority of the year. McLeod gets hurt. You got to move Brown over there. And Brown's, when he's playing against, you know, a legit center, then he's going to struggle. But then what doesn't make it easy is when they actually have a guy like Shefflin, who's a legit power forward, and then we don't have a Benny Williams or a Malik to go down and play that because Benny's gone and Malik's playing the center. So now we have someone like a Quietier Copeland or Justin Taylor, who are more like small forwards, shooting guard types. Now they're trying to guard power forwards. And then Shefflin, she's got a wide body, a big body, and he's a smart player, right? And then, you know, they have a player like Jack Clark, who's a 6'10 athletic wing, who can run around and chase a guy like Chris Bell and make sure that he doesn't shoot three. You know, so realistically, you know, this team, we just is not a great matchup. We've talked about it since the first time we previewed this game against them the first time. It's not a good matchup for us whatsoever. And, you know, you saw them come out and play with a lot more poise and doing things a lot more deliberately, trying to get the ball down to Shefflin and PJ Hall in those spots. And, you know, they went from being turned over, you know, having 21 turnovers, you know, being turned over 21 times last game to only 10. And then to me, that's really what it was. To me, I thought that we actually played better this game than we did the first time around. It was just we didn't have those turnovers to take away a lot of those opportunities. And man, like you said, I mean, how many double-digit leads did they have where we'd get it back within, you know, 8, 9, 6, you know, and then all of a sudden Gerard, he hit a big three. He hit a big 4-point play.
Yes.
Chase Hunter hit some timely threes there in the second half. And I mean, it just seemed like PJ Hall, he just wasn't missing anything, you know. And then you go to Shefflin. Shefflin had 16 points, 16 rebounds. And that guy in the 2 games that he played against Syracuse, and, you know, they said it over the announcement or whatever, he hadn't missed in 2 games against Syracuse, he hasn't missed a shot. He hadn't missed a free throw. He hasn't missed a field goal. He is 100% from everywhere against Syracuse in the 2 games they played him. So yeah, I mean, that's just kind of the way that I mean, Clemson, they play the type of game that, you know, if they play that way, then it's tough for us to beat them just because of the fact, you know, that like the size differential, you know, that was definitely difficult, and it made it easy for them to get some buckets down low. And I mean, as much as the rebound disparity wasn't 17, it was only 7 this time around. It's probably because they made a lot more shots. So it's overall tough, but especially knowing and seeing afterwards, you know, Wake Forest lost, you know. So if we would have won, then we would have locked ourselves into a double bye. And I think that it would have been a different, you know, the college basketball atmosphere and everybody out there would be saying a lot of different things, I think, about Syracuse today.
If we had won.
Yes, if we had won. Yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, you clearly look at, like, I think I mentioned, I can't remember what I mentioned when during the show, or whether it's just me and you, or if it's in the spaces after the show, but I know we talked about Louisville and how Syracuse, you know, they won every major category in that game. And, you know, this time around, they lost every major category in the game. And, like, you can't have a game like you did against Louisville and still pull it off against Clemson. And their defense was just overwhelmed. Defensively, the team was overwhelmed. Offensively, I felt like they were okay. You know, I mean, it was just, they were just too much to handle, too much experience, too much strength from down, especially down low with PJ Hall, but the other guys too that you mentioned. And just, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. You know, Clemson and Wake Forest have to play. I don't think that helps us. That would put us in a Clemson would get the tiebreaker there with that. But, you know, still sitting in this, the fact that Pitt, if they lose, Clemson wins, I think we're good. That's fifth slot in the standings. So
I'd almost want to keep six.
I don't really blame you there. Yeah, I hear you.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if we get the sixth seed, then that keeps us away for our second game. It keeps us away from Clemson, North Carolina, and Duke. And then we get that rematch against Virginia with the three seed.
Yeah, and I think that Virginia is one of the better first games we could get where we're at. So, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. At this point, if you don't get the double bye.
We'll get a bye. We'll play against somebody. And then if you win, then you got to play one of the top four teams. And my vote's Virginia.
My vote's Virginia, too. You know, and just because, you know, Virginia's had our number in the past, I just feel like, obviously, the odds are more favorable there. And I think Syracuse can do better offensively to overwhelm Virginia at this stage in the season. I just don't think that they had it going. And, you know, it wasn't as well oiled as it is now when we played them early in the year. As again, for the first, I mean, how many times have we played Virginia first in ACC play? It's like the third time. Yeah. So, and rarely do we get them again, but, you know, we've talked a lot about the net, and there's not really a whole lot going on with the net. Syracuse just drops one spot from 83 to 84. Syracuse didn't even play yesterday, or was it the day before yesterday? And they moved up
because opponents play and things.
Yeah, yeah. So and the things a fluid chart constantly. So, the resume doesn't finish off too bad. I don't think it improves or gets worse from where we're at. The only other one that could improve, I think, and we talked about it, was Oregon, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I don't know what they've got left, but they would need to be in the 50s, right? They'd need to be, where would they need to be, Joe? They would need to be, that was the neutral court, right? So they'd have to be 75. If I remember right. No, neutral's 50. I was right. Yeah. So
they were 60 last
I saw. They're 64. So that's probably not going to be a thing. Anyway, it's okay. It doesn't matter anyway, honestly.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, again, too, because, you know, the way my mind works and how I think about certain things and stuff and with the net, you know, I saw an article on Orange Fizz, and they talked about how, you know, basically, the sentence that I saw that I took out of it was, you know, the argument that a win is a win and it doesn't matter what the score is, just doesn't make any sense in college basketball.
It doesn't. You got guys like Todd that claim it does, but Todd doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's basically saying, He's basically saying that it should.
Oh, right?
and that basically, okay, like, you know, a 4-point win against Colgate isn't the same as a 4-point win against NC State, right? And I guess I understand that. But my whole thing is that the net to me should be nothing more than a tool to basically, like I said before, look at those things. Look at who you played, how many quality teams, how many bad teams, then how bad, good or bad did you. You know, it shouldn't be an overall tool that you use, that you're going to use at such a high percentage. Because, again, to my point is this, is that, you know, obviously you bring in, you know, the Vegas aspect of it, right? Like, oh, you're supposed to win by a certain amount of points, though. What is there, some type of point spread you have to win or else you're going to move up, right? But also, too, I mean, you got to think about the beginning of the year. What you're doing is and I think the NCAA is about, the kids and sportsmanship and this and that. What you're incentivizing is go beat the shit out of that team. Schedule as many softies as you can, as long as they're in Division One. And beat the shit out of them. Don't use the non-conference to, work with rotations. I mean, think about it. We grow up, you watch Boeheim, all these. You mean, the rotation that you play during non-conference and against some of those teams, it's a feeling out process. You're trying out new things. You're trying out new rotations. You're getting ready and prepared for the conference, your conference play. So in the past, it was always, you do this to get ready for the conference. Non-conference is to get yourself ready for the conference play, because that's what's important. But now they're putting so much emphasis in the non-conference that it's like, really? So now Coach Autry, he can't play all these guys and try to find out rotations and see who's ready and see who's not and see what he wants to do with certain players and certain teams and certain positions. He's just got to go out from day one and be like, all right, guys, we want to have a good net and we want a chance at the NCAA tournament, we got to go beat the shit out of New Hampshire by 30. You know what I mean? Like, to me, you're incentivizing having to go out
bad sportsmanship.
Basically, yeah. Right? Because now you're saying it's not just go out and win, it's go out and embarrass. Go out and, saying?
Just cream them.
Right. And again, some teams do that. Why? Because some teams are more prepared in the beginning of the season to do that. When you have a team full of sophomores and transfers and a new coach with a new system, then obviously you're still out there. It's a feeling out process. You're just trying to win the game and get to the next one. You're not thinking, oh, man, if we don't beat this team by 30, then there's a reason why we're not going to make the tournament. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, then that's just my whole thing is it's incentivizing that stuff. It's pushing it more towards, oh, win doesn't matter. You got to beat them by the spread. You got to beat them by as much as you should. You know, you're not allowed to have a bad day, right? Like, and don't get me wrong. I get it. A lot of the teams that Syracuse played that are tournament-type teams or teams around there in the bubble, they didn't do great. So I can understand that. But guess what? You can always go back and look at that as a committee. You don't need to use it as a metric for throughout the whole season to where you're going to rank teams. Because I'm sorry, we're not the 84th best team. People look at the net ranking they want, and they're thinking that this is a ranking of which teams are better. And we are not the 84th best team. We're obviously
the numbers,
way farther.
It comes down to pure numbers.
Pure numbers.
Their numbers
which means
are
basically
better.
It depends on how much you win or lose by to other people.
And I mean, look at Gonzaga. They're 17th in the net, man. And they're a good team, right? Like, they're not bad. Okay. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, aren't they on the cusp? Aren't they ranked?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're like 19th or 20th or something like that.
Yeah.
They played 13 quad four games, though.
Yeah. Right.
13.
Yep. Go beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, that's
it. I don't want to go back down that road of whatever, but it was just another thought that I was thinking about the other day. Like, literally, they were incentivizing these kids going out and beat, like, from day one, game one in October or November when it starts, the first game out of 30, however many you're going to play, that's when it starts. If you're playing against the softie, you better start beating the shit out of them from the get go.
I did say we weren't going to go down this road, but here we are again down the road. I understand. Well, what do you say about, like, any metric? If someone says, any metric that rewards, that would reward beating a bad team is a flawed metric. Like, in other words, like, we have to play, everybody in our conference has to play the worst team in the conference. So if we don't have a choice. So if you don't destroy them at home, sometimes you may only get them once. Maybe you only get them at home. If you don't destroy him at home, then you should be penalized for that. Okay, there, this is the thought process, though, that I've seen on Twitter. Is that if
but even though, even then, it's also, like I said, the non-conference sets the table for what your net is going into the conference. And then after that, it doesn't move much, right? So that's what I mean. Is I mean, you're incentivizing, let's go out and schedule a bunch of softies and beat the shit out of them. Put ourselves in a position to get in the NCAA tournament.
I mean, if everybody starts doing that, then, you know, I just don't know where that's going to put people. You know what I mean? Like what incentive does anybody have to have a competitive, you know, preseason tournament? Like a competitive, you know what I'm saying? Like a good one. Like, I don't know about you, but I enjoy watching these early tournaments that kick the year off.
Yeah.
And what incentive does anyone have if there are good teams in there with you?
I mean, the incentive is you take the risk. You take the risk like Clemson. When you look at Clemson and you see that they're right near us with record and this and that, they had a lot of good wins. You can say great wins in the non-conference. And that's why they're still set up in bracketology as a 5 seed. Right? So they took a chance. They won. Now, if Clemson loses 3 of those 4 or 5 good games that they won in the non-conference, well, guess what? Now they're sitting exactly where we are.
Right.
So it's a gamble. But at the end of the day, the problem is if you don't take the gamble, it still doesn't hurt you. As long as you beat the hell out of, you know, Texas Southern and Lipscomb.
And I mean, everybody can go on and Google the net rankings, but you know, you can pick out like a James Madison, right? Out of the Sun Belt. 20-0 in quad four wins. They're 53rd in the net. Mm-hmm. So my point is, for me, the point is this, that what kind of faith do we put in the net when the net doesn't produce an accurate result?
Right.
It's not reality. It's just pure numbers. And when you put garbage into a formula, it's going to spit garbage out, and it's a garbage formula.
Look, I said, if they use it as a tool with a certain percentage, you know, then that's one thing. But ever since the Nets started, that's all they talk about, right? So at the end of the day, as long as they bring in a little bit of reality, and that's not me saying that I think that Syracuse should be in. I know that we have
I think in all reality, we should be talked about. But whenever you hear things in that regard spoken about, they always bring up net. Well, they're 83rd in the net. They did it last night.
And the bottom line, too, is again, we don't have a full deck of cards as far as our team goes, and we have team weaknesses that when we play good teams, they get exploited. I mean, I don't know if we are going to do the whole fan feedback, this, and that, but, I mean, Dan on Facebook has a really good, you know, comment about this, but, you know, maybe if they had a center and didn't need to collapse as much to support undersized Malik stepping into that role, things would sync up better, including three-point defense. I don't know. Team weakness is exploited here. They need to shoot the lights out to be able to compete. And that's what you saw last night, is that we have team weaknesses. We needed to double people, and that made it allowed it for people to get open threes. So when we play against experienced good teams, then that's why we look the way that we do. When we play against teams that are comparable than us, then we can win.
Yeah.
We have the talent. So.
Yeah, and I guess that's why maybe we don't really deserve a bid unless we show something in the tournament. And yeah. I think that's legit, right? I mean.
Yeah.
But do we think.
The way they're talking, realistically, we need to win our first game against whoever it is. And then we probably got to beat Virginia if that's who it ends up being. And then we'll probably have to beat a North Carolina or a Duke to get into the final game.
I mean, St. Mary's of California. I mean, I guess they have had some decent teams, actually. I remember them in the tournament.
The problem with St. Mary's and with Gonzaga is that their conference isn't that great. So just by default, you know, with playing non-conference and then the You're teams right. in their conference, they're going to have a lot more threes and fours.
Right. That's not a great example. Yeah, let's hit up a little fan feedback before we check out. And again, we will be trying to get back here. you know, when we find out exactly what the hell is going on. We'll know
by Sunday.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We are too young and small. The season has been a step in the right direction, but we're a year away. I mean, exactly.
Agreed.
That's better put of what I was trying to say this just a minute ago. So
yeah, and that's what you really got to look at now, right? Because I think there were some players or some coaches didn't even think we were going to be in the NIT. Did we even make the NIT in the last 2 years? I don't think so.
No, we haven't.
So at the end of the day, I mean, yes, we got to. I mean, we can still go in there and we can still go into that ACC tournament. And barring some upsets and a little bit of help, I think we know where we stand against some of these teams. And I think that we know we have an uphill battle to climb to beat a couple of those teams 2 days in a row. But with that said, we have a whole bunch of sophomores coming back. Like, Hema is going to be gone, and Benny left, which means we have just enough scholarships for the two guys coming in, and we can have everybody come back. So we're going to be at least NIT bound. We're going to be able to watch our team play, and it's a bunch of sophomores. So that just gives us extra time to play against decent teams and get better for next year.
And that gives you more of us, which, you know, is arguably a good thing, maybe. I don't know.
Depends on your opinion.
It does. It does. It really does. I mean, this show has been pretty mediocre for quite some time, actually. Yeah. I don't know.
People like it. People like it. And then there's some people that, you know, they know what it is and they don't really pay attention. They probably don't listen, but they'll comment.
Yeah, right. Or they know what it is and they don't care. And, you know, they know what it is. They hate us. They comment anyway. I tell them not to listen. They agree not to listen. And then they come back and still listen and comment. And I'm like, well, you're still listening. If you hate it, don't listen. I mean, if you can hear my voice right now and you hate the show, just don't listen. I mean, because the show is what it is. It's literally like pretty mediocre. And we admit it. It's fine.
We didn't go to school for this. We don't get paid for this.
I mean, not only that, but we never cared.
No.
To be anything. That's what's made us last so damn long. Because we haven't given a shit. We don't care. All right. Let's see here. Let's see. Can I kind of reel this into focus? Here we go. At Joe Catskill, I like to see him. Clemson big man killed Cuse, but overall Clemson shot lights out against some pretty good D. Got to win at least two in the ACC tourney to get into the dance. Oh, you guys rock. Go Orange. Well, I stand corrected, Joe. Thank you. I appreciate that. Not you, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Catskill. Joe Catskill.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you didn't. Top pretty
fan,
much.
So, look, top fan Jesse on Facebook, right? This team struggles in the half court.
Hold on. Better. Where are you at? Where is he at? Okay, go ahead.
This team struggles in the half court against better teams. We gave up way too many open threes. This team is athletic and has depth at guard. We'd like to see them press more with guards and accumulate turnovers / wear teams down. It's an excuse to play Cuff more and get the most out of Joe.
He's a top JT's fan.
Minute.
Sorry.
I said that.
Oh, my bad.
Just seems like we're leaving a lot on the table. Hopefully coach has something up his sleeve come tournament time. This team is a lot of fun to watch. They're still young. This team is capable of beating any team in the ACC. I think we need a little bit of help, I think, when it comes to playing against certain teams. I think
when
we beat North Carolina.
I know, but we also did honestly have some things go our way. Some things that you have to get a little bit of luck in some of this stuff, right?
Oh, you mean like officiating?
Officiating.
There were some calls last night.
There was
a couple and ones that we should have got.
And when coach yells, "That's a foul," you know I'm all over that, like white on rice, because if he's saying it, then you know I've already thought about it. So, so if you got a guy on the ground and an opposing player comes storming in, sliding into the dude while he's on the ground trying to grab a loose ball, that in past
in
basketball,
the definition of that game, and in that play in basketball is a foul.
That's a foul. Well, it wasn't called last night. Now, the game was already in the bag for Clemson. It's fine. I get it. But call call a spade once in a while.
Yeah.
We did get a little bit of help against UNC, and I'm not saying we were unjustly helped. I'm just saying that it was, look, they went to the monitor, what, twice in that game? I mean, that's a little bit of luck because, you know, that's not a calculated, it's a calculated risk by Quadir in that game, but it is also a little bit of luck that he actually was able to do what he did, even intended or not. So you have to have some of that when you play those teams. And you're not going to get that against the Duke. And we were lucky to get what we got against UNC. And if it weren't for instant replay within the last 2 minutes, we wouldn't have got that because they called the balls the other way.
No, yeah, you're right. We got a lot of luck in that North Carolina game. And those are the, that's what we're going to need against North Carolina, Duke, Clemson, in my opinion. And honestly, like, it's maybe Virginia. It's just been so hard. Just, that's why I wanted a piece of Virginia, because it's been so long since we played them, right? And we played them at home, and it's just out of control early. Like, if we're going to play a team that's 1-4, that's the team I want. So, and we'll just, as the, wherever the cards fall, man, you know, it's what it is at this point. I think that we've done better than what most people expected. And as you do better, then your expectations grow. We've seen it in football year after year, and that's what happened in basketball. So, but I mean, I can't be, you know, this team, they fight, they do what they can, they're fun to watch. And I just hope that we retain all of them and have them all come back with a freshman next year.
Yeah. And I mean, everything is looking up, right? I mean, across the board, you got women's basketball killing it. You got, the lacrosse team's doing better. You know, with the big three, you know, I mean, might be the big four now, women's basketball. And I mean, with the sport of women's basketball, drawing more eyes than the WNBA, you know, it's something to maybe consider for, you know, serious, a little bit more serious attention than it's gotten in the past, right? But yeah. But with that said, you know, you got women's basketball doing what they do. You got Syracuse lacrosse, obviously on its way up, and you know, basketball is on its way up. And I mean, we've talked at nauseam about football. So, I mean, things are looking good. I mean, this shit doesn't happen overnight unless you're Fran Brown. That dude pisses excellence, apparently. I have no idea. What the hell?
I wake up and I piss excellence.
I mean, as far like on paper right now, I see not a nil, not a nair, not a one negative about the whole Fran Brown thing. Like,
not yet.
I mean, if you want to try to find one, you know, go ahead and
be my
guest.
Well, I mean, so far, right? But I mean,
well, we got to see him play. That's the thing.
What it is. But yeah. I mean, I'm even seeing the recruiting now. I'm seeing all these, you know, things popping up, and you know, top 100 and top 200 recruit from 2025 are got us in our top five, top six, like. Ooh. That's never happened before. Like
legit, Jack too. By the way, ACC coach of the year. I don't know if you knew that.
No, she was.
Yeah, yesterday. Oh, I think it was yesterday.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. Yeah, they play their first. They had 2-round bye, and they play their first ACC tournament game on Friday. So,
yeah, doing things. So, all right. Well, let's see if we can't do a couple more, and I got a vamanos time. Yeah. Yeah, it's pushing my limit. Let's see. And our buddy at Level Up Luke. Oh no, we suck again. Yeah, we suck against good teams. I mean, I wouldn't even say suck, because you look at the it didn't get to 15 until the very end of the game. It was 12. It was 8. It was 12 again. It was 7. You know, it was 6 at one point. I mean,
nope.
They fought back numerous times. It just overwhelmingly outmatched, and that was it. They knew it.
Yeah,
Clemson had the players to do what they needed to do to make sure that they exposed everything, like you mentioned earlier. They exposed every weakness that we had on defense.
Yeah, so. And we got a little bit better on the rebounding side of it, right? And we shot better as far as maybe not the beginning. In the beginning, we were cold, so that was part of it, right? But realistically, I mean, like I said, the turnovers – I didn't think we were going to turn them over 21 times like the first game, but only 10. I mean, if we get that number to 15, 16, I think we're talking a completely different ballgame here. Plus, we missed 5 free throws, and the way that we shot in the beginning of the season or the beginning of the game was really, really bad. So there's still some areas there, but again, this just shows you what the the small amount of error, the small gap of error that we have, there's a margin of error against these top teams are very, very small. And one little thing goes wrong and we're going to end up losing that game. And, you know, again, it's unfortunate. It's not what we wanted to see, especially when you see Joe Girard hitting shots at senior night at another port, you know, when these people, you know, our fans were saying, you know, that he should good. Now he can transfer to what I hear today on Sports Talk for Syracuse off Siena, Albany.
Oh, yeah.
Now he can go transfer to a MAC school. Like, come on, bro.
Like, he just wasn't – well, he's playing out of position. He didn't have the athleticism that he's around now. There's so many factors that go into that. And I think we've talked – I think it's been brought up on fan feedback, the fact that, you know, that was just a better fit for Joe.
Yeah.
Being at Clemson was a better fit for Joe Girard.
And it makes sense to why he went there now. When you really step back and you take a damn bird's eye view of it, right? Like,
I mean, it's 95% from the free throw line.
He's shooting the best from 3-point line percentage for his career too.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, everything is clicking for him right now.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, I'm happy for the dude. Definitely don't like seeing it, you know, putting
no, my, not against us, but I knew it. We knew this was going to happen. We knew it, and he's done it so efficiently against us, too. Not Ian Shefflin efficient, but, I mean, come on.
Well, Ian Shefflin's also taken less risk, too, but anyway.
Dude, Girard has hit, what,
four for five, right?
3-pointers in the 2 games that he played against us?
I mean, it's pretty good.
I mean, yeah, it's really good. So
it's kind of my point.
Yeah, yeah. We knew it was going to hurt. And when we saw Clemson and then we saw him twice in the schedule, we knew it was going to hurt twice.
Yeah, we thought
him, you know, coming to the Dome, scoring his 2,000th point, we knew he was going to do something, right? But little did we know that we were actually going to go to Clemson on senior night too and have him do the same damn thing. So, you know, here we are. But
here we are.
Here's a couple that I wanted to bring up because this is something that I saw all over social media, and I don't know what you thought about it or anything, but it's a 2-for-1. It's a Chris and then Trista Lynn.
Where
Chris says,
where are we? Where is this?
All
a,
the way in
this,
the bottom of Facebook.
Is this a thread?
Nope.
Okay.
It is not.
Okay.
Chris says that lady's voice was the devil. And
oh my gosh. Thank you.
And then Trista Lynn says, someone should have shoved that Baker's hat down her throat. Oops, did I just say that out loud? She ruined the game.
Wait, I'm not seeing that one.
It's on Facebook all the way at the bottom.
Yeah, it ain't at the bottom of mine. See, this is the thing with
you. If you go up, it says most relevant. You got to click all comments.
Oh, my bad. I didn't realize I had to manage my own comments.
Yeah, I think I saw this all over Facebook. But here, I'll say this.
I was going to tweet about it. Why are they able to be mic'd up? I mean, they called Judah Mintz trash or something like that one time. Like, it's like
they're not mic'd up.
I know.
So close to the people calling the game.
I know.
That it comes.
I know. But why? Is it always like that there? And what's up with the Baker's hat? Because they're cooking? Is that what it is?
I think they were students.
I know they were students. But why were they wearing chef's hats? Is because they were cooking? Is that what the thing
Shefflin?
Is? Shefflin? Oh.
That's Ian Shefflin? Why. I mean, I just kind of put that together. I don't know.
That was good for you.
That's the reason, then I have no idea. I'm right there with you.
I thought it's because they were cooking. I don't know. But well, Shefflin
Clemson
makes
Nancy
more sense.
Was cooking. And that makes Shefflin more sense. Was definitely the cook.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, you got some dumb ones here on Facebook, and this is why I don't go here, by the way. There's some really, really stupid ones on there. But I got one more, and then we can wrap it up here on Twitter. At MikeS74855165, absolutely love the way Cuse guys played tonight. Played hard all the way to the end, no quit. Proud of them. Win three ACC games and get in. Thought the ESPN2 production was abysmal. No crowd noise. I beg to differ, Mike. Reese Davis, below average. If we have our center protecting the tin, we win. I mean, look, here's the thing. You want my honest opinion about this, and I'm not trying to be dramatic or rude or anything like that. We don't have a center. We don't have one. We didn't have one really to start the year, and we still don't have one. We just really literally don't have one right now. But in my opinion, Nyheim McLeod needs work. Peter Carey, I mean, he was cleared last night, didn't play. He was out with another injury. And both of those guys can be good, and maybe they will be soon, but they are not right now. And I honestly think that you want to talk about matchups. Okay, that's another conversation. But when you're doing a 30,000 foot view of it, Malik Brown is probably your best bet most of the time. And it is what it is. I think that it's been since like Rakeem Christmas, dude, since we've had a strong center. And this is what the transfer portal and NIL money and the collectives are for. It is to pull something out of there. Something tremendous. Tremendous. Something good. Okay? I mean, I don't know what we can come up with, but I want experience down low. Build the guys up you got next year and find something with some experience. I mean, this is an open market now. Let's fix that hole because
No, I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, we know Heem is gone, right? We knew that Peter Carey was coming off a freshman year and that he needs to put on some weight. I think he showed some flashes, but I think obviously he's a little in over his head in a couple instances this year. But also, I think, you know, he needs to put the bulk on. He just gets pushed around and everything like that. We do have to remember, too, William Patterson is a center that did redshirt. So we haven't seen him yet.
That's true.
And on top of that, I would have loved to have seen Nyheim McLeod like this deep into ACC play. You know, he got hurt early, and I would have liked to have seen what that would have turned into. If he would have started, how many minutes he would have played, would we have seen improvement in games like yesterday? Would it have helped us for him to play 15, 20 minutes of, you know, go ahead, PJ Hall, try. Right? Because just those natural centers, they can just get it over Malik. I mean, Malik he's good, but he can't jump. He can't take risks because if he gets in foul trouble, then we're really screwed, right? So realistically, I mean, there's still a lot there, and it just sucks because Nyheim didn't do – I don't think he came out and jumped off the screen like a lot of people would have liked to have seen him. But we did see games where he was a defensive presence, and he blocked shots, and it wasn't easy around the basket. So if he can come back from that – it's just unfortunate we didn't see a whole year of him to see the improvement.
You're right.
To see, you know, because now everyone's just – they're kind of just riding him off. Like, oh, we need somebody in the portal. But realistically, William Patterson, Carey, and him, like they come back after 1 year. I mean, that might be enough, especially considering we know Malik Brown in situations can go in there and play center as well.
I don't know. I mean,
we're bringing in Donnie Freeman next year, who's legit 6'9", who he's going to be able to come in and he's going to be able to play power forward alongside of him. So even if Malik Brown does get pressed to play a little bit of center next year, you're going to have a legit 6'9" guy just as tall as you playing power forward right next to you. So,
yeah,
I understand your point.
I just we'll never know. So we can sit here and argue about it all day. But it is my belief that there is we don't know, but here's the thing. Here, just real quick. I'm sorry. From what I saw, there is so much that needed to be fixed from the start of ACC play till now. That I just don't know. Now the whole team's gotten better, I feel like, right? So who knows what you're right. Who knows where it'd be right now? But who knows exactly? Who knows? But he's still a part of the team. And you're right. We do have three guys that can play. But I still don't think that it's a terrible idea to grab something out of the transfer portal. Because I mean, are you gonna use all three? I mean, isn't this going to get whittled down? Do you expect all of those guys to be there next year?
No, I mean, I don't know if they're going to use all three. I guess my whole point is this, is that like right now we're at the max. So for us to get a transfer center, then somebody else needs to leave. And we don't know who that is. I mean, is Kyle Cuff going to leave because he didn't get enough run? I don't know. Is Judah Mintz going to leave or come back? We don't know. Is Justin Taylor going to get run off like Joe Girard did? Don't know. Is Kerry going to leave because coach says, hey, you know, I mean, we got guys here. You're just not going to play over. I mean, you're willing to stay if you want, but I mean, we don't know. But I just know that there is a core group of guys that I definitely want to see back. And I honestly wouldn't mind if they all came back.
I would love them to see them all come back. Are you kidding me?
But them all coming back, that brings up the point that you just said, right? Is who's going to be the center? Because we can't get a transfer.
I don't need all of them to come back. We don't need all of them to come back.
No.
We don't. But, I mean, when I talk about Kyle Cuff, I mean, what the hell? Do you want to see him back, right? All of a sudden, we're seven deep, the last game of the regular season? What the hell? So, we were scraping by on really six deep for a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I want to see all six of those guys come back. McLeod, Carey, whoever, you know, and a transfer. I just don't think we're in a perfect world. I just don't think we're going to get all that anyway. So I don't know if it matters. We can sit here and wish in one hand, shit in the other one, see which one gets filled first. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you try, Joe?
No. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that at all. So
okay. Look, I've overstayed my welcome.
Okay.
And by that, I mean I got to go. I am in my own house, by the way. So that's not it, but I have to leave it
because
my son's playing lacrosse right now. So anyways, that is all I got for you guys. Appreciate you. When we find out something, we will let you know that something, but you'll already know. We'll just sit here and give you our mundane, boring opinions on it. For Joe, yeah, for Sean, we're out.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.